All right, this week's Parsha is Parshas Vayetze, and the title of this year is Ladder to Heaven. And as the title implies, we're going to be discussing the Nevuah, the prophecy given to Yaakov at the beginning of this week's Parsha with regard to a ladder going up to heaven, and there's angels on the ladder. We're going to try to explain or understand, you know, the deeper meaning and significance of the ladder and the Nevuah. So we're going to begin with the Psukim, as usual. Bereishis Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Yod. The very beginning of the Parsha. It says, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Charana. So Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he's going to Charan. And just background information, why was Yaakov leaving? He was leaving because he was aware of Esav's desire to kill him. And Yitzchak and Rivka send him to Charan to get married. So he escapes there, and he goes to Charan. Okay, the next pasuk, Yud Aleph, it says, Vayifga b'makom, he encounters a place, the place. Vayolin sham kiva shemesh, he goes to sleep. Why? Because it's getting dark. Vayikach me'avnei makom, vayosem merosh osav, vayishkav b'makom ahu. And he takes some stones, and he puts it underneath his head, and he goes to sleep in that place. Okay? Vayachalom, he has a dream. Vehine sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma. He has a dream, and there's a ladder in the dream, and part of the ladder is on the ground, the bottom of it, and the top of it goes all the way up to the sky, to the heavens. Vehine malachei elokim yo'olim v'yordim bo. There are angels that are going up and down. One second. Okay, so in this dream, there's a ladder from the ground all the way up to the sky, to the heavens, and there are malachim, there are angels going up and down the ladder. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav vayomar. Hashem is standing on top of it, and he says, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha v'Elokei Yitzchak. I am Hashem, the God of Avraham, your forefather, and the God of Yitzchak. Ha'aretz asher atah shochev aleha lecha et nena ulzarecha. So the land in which you are sleeping on, that is a land in which I will be giving to you and your offspring. V'hine zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, and your zara, your offspring will be as multitude as the afar ha'aretz, the dirt on the land. U'faratzto yama v'kedma v'tafon v'negba v'nivrchu v'cha kol mishpachos adama v'zarecha. You'll be blessed, and you'll have a lot of children and offspring. V'hine anochi imach, I will be with you. U'shmarticha b'chol asher teleich, and I will guard you in all your travels. V'hashivosicha el hadamazos, and I will bring you back to this land, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Ki lo ezavcha, because I will not leave you and forsake you. Ad asher imasisi es asher dibarti lach, until I do what I'm telling you. Okay? So summarizing the psukim, Yaakov, he leaves Be'er Sheva. He encounters this place in Eretz Yisrael. He falls asleep and he has this really strange dream. And in the dream, he sees a ladder, and on this ladder, there are these angels. And the angels are going up and down from the ladder. Hashem's on top of the ladder. And Hashem tells Yaakov that, A, he will be a great nation, a progenitor of a great nation, and B, that he will be with him and guard him in all his travels. Okay, so what's strange about these psukim, or what we're going to focus on, is the idea of the ladder. What is the purpose of having a ladder and having malachim going up and down? Why not just have a dream in which Hashem tells Yaakov, you know, you will be great, you will have many children, you will, I will be with you. What do we gain by having this strange imagery of a ladder with angels going up and down? You know, what is the purpose of that? Okay? Does anybody have any other questions on the psukim that we maybe we'll address in this year? Okay, so if you have a question, just feel free to ask at any point. Okay, so the main question is, what is the deal with the ladder? You know, what is it trying to convey? So the Ramban, as usual, he takes up this piece of Chumash, but he's very cryptic, and there's a lot of holes in the Ramban that we're going to try to expose and then try to patch up, hopefully. So let's start with the Ramban. I forgot to put numbers on this week, so I apologize, but it's the second source on the first sheet. The Ramban says, "V'hinei sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma v'hinei malachei elokim olim v'yordim bo." Okay, that's just the pasuk. Her'ahu b'chalom hanevuah. So he showed him in a dream of prophecy. So this wasn't just your regular average dream, where a person normally dreams wish fulfillment, but it was a nevuah. It was a prophecy. Kichola nase ba'aretz, anything that happens on the land, nase al yidei ha-malachim, is done through angels. V'hakol b'gzeras elyon aleihem, and everything is done or comes from God's decree upon them. Ki malachei elokim asher shalach Hashem lehis'alech ba'aretz, lo yasu kitana ugdola ad shuvam leis yatev al adon kol ha'aretz, lemor lefanav hisalachnu ba'aretz. So a malach doesn't do anything until he goes back to his creator, to God, and he tells him, you know, what's going on, that he traversed the land. And he says, v'hinei yosheves b'shalva omleach char v'dam, and then the malach reports back to God what the land is like. The land is either tranquil or there's a lot of, you know, bad stuff going on. V'hu yitzave alehem lashuv laredes ba'aretz v'lasos devara, or diburo. Okay, and then God sends them out again to do his words, or he decrees upon them to act accordingly. So the purpose of the ladder and the angels going up and down, and the Ramban's addressing why it's saying going up first and then going down, is basically that Malachim are in charge of this world, and Hashem sends Malachim out to spy out the land. Then they come back to God up this ladder, and they report to him what's going on in the land, and then God sends them back out to do his actions, to do his ratzon, his will. Okay? So before we move on, what is strange about this Ramban? What's strange about the idea that God sends out Malachim, they spy out the land, then they come back to him, they report what's going on, and then God sends them out again? Why is what's? I think there's fundamental problems with the Ramban. I'm pausing here because I want somebody to ask the question, if possible.
Why does he need them to spy out the land? He knows what's going on.
Good. All right. Good. You're back. We missed you last week. Okay. So why does he need Malachim to go spy out the land? If Hashem, we say that God is omniscient and God knows all. So what does it mean that he's sending out Malachim to find out what's going on? I mean, this is a crazy idea. It implies that God doesn't have knowledge and that the Malachim are giving him knowledge. But God knows all, and he never lacks knowledge. That's a weakness to lack knowledge, to not know all. And we say God knows all. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So what is this idea that he's sending out Malachim and they're reporting to him what's going on? It's a fundamental problem. It implies that God is weak, that there's a point in time where God doesn't know something, and then he does know something, and which is, it's a problem. It's like it's a problem that goes against the essentials of our religion, to say that God doesn't know all, and that he needs somebody to tell him something, okay? So that's one question, one major question in the Ramban. Okay, and let's go on in the Ramban. If you look in Vehera'ahu, the next paragraph, Vehera'ahu, Ki hu yisbarech nitzav ala sulam umafticho liyakov behavtacha gedola. So he's showing him in this dream that Hashem, who's on top of the sulam, on top of the ladder, he's making Yaakov a great promise. Lahodia shehu lo yiyah biyad hamalachim, that Yaakov won't be at the hands of the malach, the angels. Aval yiyah chelek Hashem v'yiyah imo tamid. He will be a portion of Hashem, and Hashem will be with him at all times. Kemosha Amar, as it says, V'inei anochi imach u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech. Hashem says in Pasuk Tetzvav, I am with you and I will guard you in all your travels. Ki ma'alaso gedola mishar ha-tzadikim. Because Yaakov had a greater maila, a greater level than all other tzadikim. Shneabar bahem, by other tzadikim it says, Ki malachav yitzavelach l'shmarcha b'chol derachecha. That Hashem, he appoints a malach to guard them. Okay, so the second part that the Ramban's saying about this Medrash is that what is Hashem telling him through this prophecy? That Yaakov, as opposed to other tzaddikim, Yaakov will not be at the hands of Malachim, but rather God will be with him personally. Whereas by other tzaddikim are at the hands of Malachim. And if you look in just the Pasuk itself, in the third source, it says, Ki malachav yitzav elach neshmarcha b'chol derachecha, that he appoints Malachim to guard you in all your travels. The Radak explains, Ki malachav yitzave lecha lishmarcha, lecha b'avurcha, for you. Kimo imri liachihu, hu yitzave malachav b'avurcha. So God, he appoints Malachim, angels, for you, or because of you, shishmerucha b'chol asher teilech. That he will guard you, or these Malachim will guard you in everything that you, in all your travels, okay? Okay, so now we have another problem in the Ramban, I think. It's less fundamental, but it's more just, what is he talking about, right? So what's the problem with the Ramban? What's he saying? He's saying that the Nevuah was trying to tell Yaakov, or give him insight, that Yaakov, as opposed to other tzaddikim, would not be at the hands of Malachim, but rather would be at the hands of Hashem himself. What exactly does that mean? Does anybody have an idea? What does it mean that Yaakov is with, that God is with Yaakov, but other tzaddikim are with Malachim? First of all, what is the difference practically? And furthermore, why is Yaakov so much greater than other tzaddikim that he warrants this special shmira, this special protection? What's the difference also? What's the difference when God says that he's going to protect, if he protects through a Malach versus protecting from through himself personally, what's the difference practically? But also, what is...
Also, yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, if he's saying here that he's going to protect him himself...
Yeah.
Why mention the Malachim at all?
Well, yeah, he's...
Why send Malachim out as spies? Because he should just be doing things directly for him.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, he's not sending the Malachim out as spies for Yaakov. He's showing Yaakov, this is how the world works, but you're going to be unique. You're going to get some special type of, protection.
Okay.
But still, the question is, why did Yaakov deserve a special type of... What does it mean that he had a greater mala also than other tzaddikim? Was he greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Was he greater than Aaron, than David? What made him Avraham Yitzchak? How come Avraham Yitzchak, they didn't get this? They didn't get this type of nevuah. It never says that they get a special shmira from God. But the Ramban's saying that Yaakov had something unique about Yaakov that warranted a personal shmira on the part of God. So what exactly does that mean? Right? You guys, okay, any other questions on the Ramban? Or does everybody understand the questions?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for the feedback. All right. So what exactly, these are the questions, right? So let's just take up the first point, and then we'll get into the particulars. So what is the idea? So I've given you guys time to think on the phone. What is the idea that Hashem, that all things are done through Malachim, and Hashem sends them out to spy, and then they report back to Hashem? Because we had a question. It implies that Hashem doesn't know something. And we know that Hashem, one of our principles, is that Hashem is omniscient, that he knows all. So the fact that he has to send out Malachim, to tell him things, implies that he doesn't know something. And then he gets the knowledge later. So what is the significance of this idea? Or how do we explain this idea so that at least it fits into the Yud Gimli Karm, and it makes sense? All right? Does anybody want to try?
Well, maybe it's the fact that God isn't physical.
He's what?
So he needs, because he's not physical.
Yeah.
That he needs kind of a representative to understand, not that he doesn't understand, but to be physical, to spy physically, so to say, or kind of...
Yeah, but then that implies that... Why can't he? Why can't God? I mean, he doesn't have to spy. He knows all. So what does it even mean that he can't spy? He's not a
spy. No, but I guess it's like a physical representation of God in a sense. I don't know. Which doesn't. Well, no, I don't know.
Right. Okay. Anybody else? All right. I mean, I was thinking about this, and this is just like the platform. We're gonna jump off the platform, but this is the platform. I think what he's saying is that, you see, it's unbecoming of like a melech to do the dirty work. When you're a melech and you want something done, you get somebody else to do it. You don't do it yourself personally, right? So I think the idea, it's not saying that God sends out spies and he needs people to spy for him, or malachim, angels, to spy for him because he doesn't know something. But the idea is that his idea, his omniscience is effortless on his part. And it's done through the idea of it being done through the Malachim is an expression of the fact that there's no denigration of God in his knowledge, in his idea of the world, of the universe. If he does it himself, doing something yourself, if you're a melech, is almost a denigration. It's like a lack of kavod to the melech. But doing something through somebody else demonstrates, the uniqueness of the melech and the kavod, the respect that's afforded to a melech. So a melech doesn't get involved in mundane matters. He doesn't get involved in things that don't really pertain to him. He gets other people or other messengers to do things for him. So the idea of the malachim is simply expressing the fact that his yediyah, his omniscience, is effortless on his part, and it's respectful. It's not done in a denigrating manner. There's no weakness in God's knowledge. There's no denigration in God in his knowledge, but it's done through other. The Ramban actually says a similar idea in the creation of the world. He says that the idea when it says Vayomer Yehi Or, that Hashem says and he created Or through his Amira, implies that it was effortless. So the idea is that there's no effort on the part of God himself when it comes to knowledge, and that's an idea of kavod, a kavod for the melech, that a melech doesn't do things personally, it doesn't expend effort in doing things, but rather things are done for him by others. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't know something, or it's an idea of how to understand his knowledge and understand his idea. But that's just one approach or the platform. But we're going to go much deeper into the Ramban, okay? So the main question on the Ramban was, what's the difference between Yaakov and other tzaddikim, and why does Yaakov warrant a personal protection from God as opposed to other tzaddikim who get protection from Malachim? What is the difference between those two things, right? So if you look in the Ramban, it's not an accident, but I actually bolded the word Chelek Hashem. And the reason why I bolded the word Chelek Hashem is because in the Toras Chaim, they quote a pasuk that for some reason the Bar Ilan didn't quote, but it's the pasuk from Hazinu. And the pasuk says, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso. So the portion of Hashem is his nation. Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso is the lot of his inheritance. Okay? So what does that mean? Ki Chelek Hashem Amo. Lama Kolzos. Why is the... In Hazinu, the whole background of this pasuk is that Hashem saved the universe. He could have destroyed everybody by the flood, including Noah, but he saved people and he saved mankind. So the Rashi is saying, why? Lama Kolzos. Lefi Shehaya Chelko Kavosh Beneam V'Asid Latzes. Because God's portion was Kavosh. It was hidden and buried amongst them, and in the future it would come out. Umihu Chalko, who is God's portion? Amo, his nation. Umihu Amo, and who is his nation? Yaakov, Chevel Nachalaso. Yaakov, who is the lot of his inheritance. What does this mean? Vehu Ashlishi Ba'avos. Yaakov was the third of the Avos. Hamishulash Beshalosh Zechuyos. He had three Zechuyos, merits. Zechus Avi Aviv, Uschus Aviv, Uschuso. There was his grandfather, Avraham, his father, Yitzchak, and himself, Harei Shlosha, so you have three, Kechevel Hazeh, like a rope, Shehu Asui B'Shlosha Gedilim, that has like three, parts coming out of it. V'hu Uvanav Hayula L'Nachla, and for him and his children, it would be for Nachla, V'lo Yishmael ben Avraham, and not Yishmael ben Avraham, V'lo Esav ben Shel Yitzchak, and not Esav, the son of Yitzchak. Okay, so I think the Rashi is expressing a deep idea about Yaakov, but I'm quoting this pasuk because the Ramban makes reference to this pasuk in explaining the shmira of God on Yaakov. Because he says in the Ramban, if you look back in the Ramban, he says lehodia shehu lo yia biyad hamalachim aval yia chelek Hashem v'yia imo tamid, that Yaakov won't be in the hands of malachim, but rather he is the portion of Hashem. And Hashem is with him at all times. And the pasuk that he's quoting is this pasuk, Dvarim Lamed Beis, pasuk Tes, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, that the portion of Hashem is his nation. So what does this mean? What is the idea that the portion of Hashem is his nation? And how do we explain, or how do we apply this to Yaakov in specific? Which I think Rashi is alluding to. Okay? So what does it mean that the portion of Hashem is his nation? So I think unless somebody wants to stop me, I think the basic approach is that really Klal Yisrael, his nation, the nation of God, really reflects the ideas of God, and they really are representative of God to the world, to the Ummah, right? So the idea is that's the purpose of Klal Yisrael, and that's what Rashi is saying. Umihu Chalko, who is the portion of Hashem? What does it mean, the portion of Hashem? Hashem doesn't have parts, but who represents Hashem? Amo, his nation. Umihu Amo, but who is his nation? Yaakov, Chevel Nachalaso. Okay? So Yaakov is considered his nation. Why? Because he was the third of the Avos, and only Yaakov, Rashi says, was the only one who you could tie to Klal Yisrael alone. See, Avraham, you can't tie to Klal Yisrael alone. He's Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticha. And Yitzchak, you can't tie because he had Esav. But Yaakov is the only individual that could be tied to Klal Yisrael alone. Okay? So what is the idea? Let's put everything together and try to explain this Ramban, because I'm putting the pieces together. Okay? So how do we explain this Ramban, and what's the purpose of the Nevuah? Okay, so I think the idea is that we said before that Hashem's personal involvement is a denigration in certain situations. It's denigrating to say that God has to put effort into his knowledge, or that he has to do things on a personal level, right? That's a denigration of the Kvod Shamayim, of the Kvod of a Melech. When a Melech wants something done, he gets messengers to do it. But the thing is, when a Melech's reputation is affixed or tied to an individual or to something, so the Melech, it demands the Melech's involvement on a personal level. So the idea of, and it's not denigrating. Why? It's not denigrating to the Kavod of the Melech when the Melech's reputation is tied to the individual or tied to a certain event. It's only denigrating when it's not, and the Melech doesn't have to do it. But when the Melech's reputation or the Melech himself is tied to an individual or an event, so there's an idea of personal involvement. So I think that explains, or this idea is an opening into the Ramban. Why? See, what was unique about Yaakov, and why did he warrant Chelek Hashem, this personal type of protection? See, Yaakov was a unique individual, and I'm going to try to use examples. But Yaakov, he was an individual, but he was a tzibor. He was Klal Yisrael in an individual. What do I mean by that? Let me use an example. You have like species, right? So let's take like giraffes, for example. So let's say all the giraffes in the world, not the universe, but all the giraffes in the world were destroyed except for one giraffe, right? So on the one hand, you would say that the giraffe is an individual, he's a yachid, right? But on the other hand, you would also say the giraffe is a species because there's no other giraffes there. So he really reflects the species. He is the species. And if you destroy the giraffe, you don't just kill the giraffe, but you kill the species as well. And you no longer have the species in the universe, right? It's the same thing with Adam HaRishon. So Adam HaRishon was an individual, but he was also all of mankind. And if Adam had died before Chava was created, you wouldn't have the personal Adam, but you also wouldn't have mankind, all of humanity. So Yaakov, the Torah is expressing a similar idea by Yaakov. See, Yaakov, the Am is called Yaakov. Ki chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov, chevo nachlaso. Yaakov was really an individual, but he was also the start or the beginning of a tzibor. As opposed to Avram and Yitzchak, who you couldn't pinpoint to Klal Yisrael. You couldn't say that they're only Klal Yisrael, that they're the tzibor of Klal Yisrael, because they had other children. They were involved in creating other nations. As Yitzchak was involved in creating Esav, and Avram was involved in creating Yishmael. But Yaakov was the individual and the tzibor. If anything happened to Yaakov, then it wouldn't just be an attack on the personal Yaakov, but it would be a destruction of Yaakov as Klal Yisrael, as the tzibor of Klal Yisrael. Much like the giraffe case, the giraffe example. If you take the giraffe and you destroy and you cut off the shech the giraffe, the giraffe goes bye-bye and the species goes bye-bye. They both go to the wayside. Yaakov was unique in that sense, that Yaakov really, as opposed to the other Avos, Yaakov was really Klal Yisrael. And if Yaakov were to be affected or to be destroyed and be unsuccessful, it wouldn't just be the destruction of Yaakov, but it would also be the destruction of Klal Yisrael. And there's really no other tzaddik that you can say that about. That's what's unique about Yaakov. What other tzaddik could you say that about? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he was destroyed, you could still have Klal Yisrael. Even if Aaron was, once Klal Yisrael had emerged, you know, you could still have Klal Yisrael. And in terms of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you can't say that they were specifically tied to the tzibor of Klal Yisrael because they had other children. The only person that you can say that about was Yaakov. And Rashi's expressing that because he says, Mihu Amo, who is it? It's Yaakov, Chevel Nachloso. Yaakov is called his nation. Okay?
So when all the sons were born, did the Hashkacha leave Yaakov?
There's two types of Hashkacha in the world, right? One type of Hashkacha in the world is Hashkacha on the Yachid, on the personal. When a person's a tzaddik, they weren't Hashkacha. But then there's Hashkacha on the Tzibor and Klal Yisrael. But because Yaakov was really reflective of the Tzibor, so he really warranted both sets of Hashkacha. He warranted the set of Hashkacha of the Yachid and the set of Hashkacha of the Tzibor. And the idea of the Hashkacha of the Tzibor is that God's reputation is tied to the Tzibor. As said in the Pasuk openly, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, that God's portion is is Kavosh Binyam. It's within Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael's their purpose and their goal is to represent God to the other nations. And if Klal Yisrael fails, it also reflects on God as well. So the idea of Yaakov getting a personal hashgacha from God, or a personal shmira from God, is this idea. It's the idea that Yaakov warranted a special hashgacha of the tzibur, even though he was a yachid. So it's a beautiful chiddush on the part of the Ramban that he's alluding to by saying chelak Hashem. He's trying to show you that the uniqueness of Yaakov, and he's explaining ki ma'alaso gedola mishar tzadikim. No other tzaddik in the Torah can you say gets hashgacha of the tzibur. Only Yaakov Avinu warranted the hashgacha of a yachid and the hashgacha of a tzibur. And the hashgacha of a tzibur is different than the hashgacha of a yachid. The hashgacha of a yachid is through a malach. Why? Because God doesn't get involved in the individual. It's denigrating for him. But the tzibur is really reflective of God. They represent God. And the idea of a personal shmira is to demonstrate that. It's to demonstrate that the success. Oh, I guess you didn't like that idea. The success of Klal Yisrael is tied to God. Okay, so that is the idea the Ramban is, I think, alluding to. Okay? Does anybody have a question, or does that make sense? Should I explain it again? But was the giraffe example a good example?
Yes, it was a great example.
All right, good. Thank you.
That example was a good example, but I don't think I quite understood something you said.
Okay.
Did you just say that God doesn't get involved with an individual because it's beneath him?
Yes, I'm saying...
Did I mishear you?
Yeah, I'm saying the idea of a malach doing... the idea of a malach getting involved as opposed to God personally is that it's denigrating for a melech to get involved in things personally. Like if you have let's say the president of the United States. So for him to get involved in the personal finances of somebody in Ohio or Iowa or whatever is denigrating. He can get somebody else to do it. So the idea in general is that the idea of a malach being responsible for the shmira is that it is tied back to God. God is ultimately responsible for the shmira, but the idea of using a malach is to demonstrate that there's no denigration of God. It would be denigrating for the melech, for a melech olam olamim to have to personally get involved in the yachid's individual matters. But he appoints.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Okay, all right. So then the question is, what's the difference between God getting... He says that. He says it openly. He says, the Ramban says at the end of the Ramban, that by all tzaddikim, ki malasu gedolim yishar tzaddikim, shenemar bahem, with regard to tzaddikim, ki malachav yitzavel l'chol deshmarcha b'chol derachecha. That God always appoints...
I don't understand the thing you just said.
What?
You'll have to translate that for me.
Oh, sorry. He says that malachav, that God appoints angels in order to guard tzaddikim, as opposed to Yaakov, where it says that God guards Yaakov on a personal level. So the question is, what is the difference? And why does Hashem appoint a malach to guard the tzaddik as opposed to Yaakov, who gets personal protection from God himself?
Okay, I think that we're talking about apples and oranges at this point.
Okay.
Go ahead. You continue and I'll listen.
Okay, I'm just telling you what I think the Ramban's saying. I think the Ramban's saying that the difference, the idea of malachim doing things for God, is an idea to demonstrate that it's effortless on the part of God and that it would be denigrating for God to be involved in the mundane matters, in matters that are beneath the melech, the creator of the universe. But on the other hand, when God's reputation is affixed or tied to an individual or a Klal Yisrael, as the psukim say, ki chelek Hashem amo, so there's a different type of hashgacha, a different type of providence that is warranted. And because of Yaakov's uniqueness as an individual, but also a representation of the Am, therefore he warranted a unique type of hashgacha, a hashgacha on a personal level, but also on hashgacha, or a providence on a national level, because he really was the nation. And without Yaakov, the nation would be destroyed.
I understand that, and I agree with what you're saying. However, I don't exactly agree with what you're saying, that Hashem doesn't deal with each and every one of us personally.
Okay.
So go ahead and you continue and I'll listen.
Okay. All right. But I'm not saying that God doesn't involve himself personally. I'm just saying there's a malach, there's an intermediary there. It's not personal. It's not God himself getting involved. that he create. That's what the Ramban says. He says that God has Malachim do his deeds. He appoints angels. So yes, ultimately it is from God, but there's always a barrier. It's not God himself. Whatever that would mean, God himself, but it's not God himself. There's a barrier. There's a break there. So I'm just trying to explain that.
Okay.
So let's go on in the Pesukim. So there's a pasuk in Tehillim which actually alludes to Klal Yisrael being called Yaakov. It says by David, Ma'achar. I didn't put this in the source sheet, but it says Ma'achar alos heviu liros bi Yaakov amo uvi Yisrael nachleso. So it's talking about David. That David was appointed to be the shepherd of Yaakov amo, of Yaakov his nation, and Yisrael his nachleso. So Yaakov. These are two psukim where you see Yaakov is not just defined as an individual, but he's really defined as a nation. So Yaakov is an individual and a nation, and there's two sets of hashgacha. There's a personal providence, and there's a providence of the nation. And that was what made Yaakov unique. And just to further that point, it says in the next pasuk, Vayomer Hashem al Yaakov shuv el eretz avosecha l'molatecha ve'yeh imach. At the end of the parsha, Yaakov decides to return to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem gives him a nevuah that he should go back. And as the pasuk says in Parak Lamed Aleph Gimel, as I just read, but then when he's explaining it to his wives, he says in Bereishis Parak Lamed Aleph Yud Gimel, it's the last source on the sheet, it says, Anochi hakel base kel, asher mashachta sham matzeva, asher nadarta li sham neder, ata kum tsemin arta zos, v'shuv el eretz molatecha. So the malach in the dream, and the way that Yaakov's describing it to his wives, he presents himself as, I am the God of Beit El, which was what happened at the beginning of the Parsha. So why is he presenting him as the God of Beit El? Apparently he's trying to reinforce this idea in Yaakov, that he's reminding him of the same concept, that Yaakov warranted a special hashgacha because he really was the nation. He wasn't just a yachid. So when he enters into Charan, and then when he leaves Charan, in both those situations, Hashem informs Yaakov of this special type of relationship that Yaakov has to the Hashkacha because of his role in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's the first concept. And I think that's the explanation of the idea of the ladder. The ladder is trying to teach Yaakov about, you know, the unique Hashkacha that he warranted as opposed to, you know, the general Hashkacha, and because of his status as a Yachid and as a Tzibor, all in one. So it's he's like, as I said before, he's like the giraffe, okay? So let's go to the next. So that's the Ramban, okay? That's the Ramban. And there's one other approach to this Medrash that we're going to take up, and it's more, I think it's more commonly known. It's a famous Rashi, okay? So what is the idea of Olim V'Yordim, that they're going up and they're going down? So Rashi is also puzzled by this idea of Malachim going up and down. Why is it going up and down? Why not going down and then up? So he says, Olim tchilav achar kach yordim. So first they go up and then they go down. Malachim shelivuhu ba'aretz, ein yotzim chutz la'aretz v'alu l'rakia. So the malachim, the angels who escorted him in Eretz Yisrael, they don't go out into chutz la'aretz. So they're going up back to Shamayim. V'yardu malachim chutz la'aretz lavoso. Then you have another set of malachim coming down in order to escort him outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So you have two sets of malachim. You have malachim in Eretz Yisrael, and you have malachim outside of Eretz Yisrael to escort him. So that's the idea of the ladder. The ladder is trying to show Yaakov this idea that there's two sets here. There's two sets of malachim. So of course, we see that Rashi's arguing with the Ramban, and he's saying that that Yaakov was not unique in that he got a special personal shmira, but rather he was guarded by the malachim, like other tzaddikim. But there's something strange about this. Why do you need two separate sets of malachim? Why are there malachim in Eretz Yisrael and why are there malachim outside of Eretz Yisrael? Why can't there just be one set of malachim that, you know, guard Yaakov throughout? Right? Okay, and then if you look at the end of the Parsha, Bereishis Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, it says, V'Yaakov halach ledarko, Vayifku bo malachei Elokim. So Yaakov, when he's leaving to go back into Eretz Yisrael, it says that he encounters angels. Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'am machane Elokim zeh vayikra shem hamakom ahu machanayim. So he names it Machanayim because he says this is the machane, the camp of God. And if you look at Rashi there, he says the same thing. Vayifku bo malachei Elokim, malachim shel Eretz Yisrael ba'u likroso l'lavoso la'aretz. So the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael, they came to greet him, and then they're going to escort him into the Eretz, right? So you have the same funny thing that you have this exchange of Malachim. So one question is, what is the exchange of the Malachim? Why do you have two separate sets of Malachim? It's a strange idea. Why can't the Malachim from Chutz La'aretz go into Eretz Yisrael? Anybody? So that's the question, okay? But before we get into that question, there's an idea of livuhu, of escorting. There's a concept of escorting somebody here. Like the Malachim are escorting. It should just say that the Malachim are with him. They're coming to go with him into Eretz Yisrael. Why does it say escort him? So there's a Rambam, and this is an interesting halacha. It's like actually halacha l'maisa, but the Rambam brings it down, but the other Achronim don't bring it down, like the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. For some reason, they don't bring it down. But if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yudal Halacha Beis, he says Schar Halavaya Meruba Min Hakol. What? Oh, so the Schar of escorting is the greatest Schar. Okay, v'hu hachok shechakiku Avraham Avinu v'derech hachesed shenahagba. So this was a chok that Avraham had established, and it was part of his chesed. Machil ovrei drachim. First, he would feed people who were passing by. Umashke osan. Then he would give them drink. Umlave osan. And then he would escort them. Ugdola hachnasas orchem hakbalas pnei hashchina. And hachnasas orchem is greater than greeting the Pnei Ashchina, the face of the Shechina, Shenemar, Vayar v'hinei shlosha anashim, because the Psukim tell us that Avram was involved in Nevuah, and then he leaves to do Achnasas Orchem, Ulevayim Yoser Mahachnasason. And escorting is more important than actually bringing them in, being Machnas them. Amru Chachamim, Kol She'enu Malavek Ilu Shofech Damim. Anybody who doesn't escort his guest out of his house, it's as if he kills him, as if he's murdering him. So the Rambam's saying a couple interesting points. He's saying that it's part of Hachnasas Orchem, this idea of escorting. And there's a halacha, according to the Rambam, that you're chayev to escort your guest out of your house. It's part of, and it's actually more important than the actual Hachnasa itself. So it's a funny thing. Why is it more important than the Hachnasa itself? And the Rambam compares it to murder if you don't do it. So why is it so severe? And let's just go on to the next halacha. He says, "Kofin l'levaya k'derech shekofin l'tzdaka." So you can force a person to escort, just like you can force a person to give tzedaka. U'beisden hayu mesaknin shluchin l'lavos adam ha'over mimakom l'makom. So based in the past, they would set up escorters that would help escort people from house to house. Ve'im nis'atzlu b'davar zeh mala aleihem k'ilu shafchu damim. If they got lazy and they didn't provide people to escort other people, it's as if they killed them. Afilu hamalve eschavera arba amos yeshlo schar harba. Even if you just escort your friend 4 amos out of your house, you get a big schar. You get a bigger reward. V'kama shir levia shechayv adamba levaya shechayv adamba. So what is the shir? Harav le talmid ad avora shel ir. So for a rav to his talmid, you have to take him to the end of the city. V'ish lechavera at chum shabbos v'al talmid lerav ad parsa v'imaya rav umova got shlosh parsos. So those are the different shiurim as to how far you have to escort these individuals. Okay, so what is this idea of escorting? Why is it so important to escort your guest out? Pause.
Because I guess you're taking the time to do it.
Okay.
You're not like just kicking them out and excited that they're leaving.
Okay.
Okay,
Tamar's saying because you take the time to escort them. Okay, it's one possibility. Anybody else?
I think it also makes them feel like you want them to return. They're not just sending them out, but it makes them have this feeling of, you know, thank you so much for coming, and we're looking forward to seeing you again.
But okay, but why would Beeston? Let's just why would Beeston set up this system of escorters?
Safety also.
Safety. Yeah. Who's saying? Yeah. Safety. Yeah. So there's an idea of escorting somebody is an idea in safety. So I agree with that. But for some reason, the Rambam says that if a guy is malaves chavero arba amos, yeshlo schar harbe. So what kind of safety is that? If you just go, arba amos is like 6 feet. Whenever I imagine arba amos, I imagine myself lying on the floor. Like when I have to decide whether I have to, you know, there's halacha that you're not allowed to walk back into Dalet Amos, so the person behind you is davening. So I always try to imagine myself lying down to see what the shear is, but it's really not that far. 6 feet isn't that far. So what kind of protection is it to escort your buddy 6 feet? Good, good. Okay, good. So there's two aspects to the escorting somebody, right? One aspect is safety on a physical, but even if you're not going to provide a person with the physical safety, meaning you're not going to back them up, you know, but if you just do Dalet Amos, you're at least giving the person like a certain confidence. There's a psychological safety. So that's what I think Debbie's saying. So the idea of Levaya, of escorting a guest out, is an idea of protecting them. But there's two aspects of protection. One aspect of protection is actually walking with them all the way to their house so that they're physically not in danger. But then there's a psychological protection, that they know somebody is with them. And as we all know, nighttime is a scary time. And a lot of times a person's more psychologically vulnerable at night because it's dark. People have fears of going to sleep and it's just more vulnerable. So for a person to be escorted by their guest out of their house, it gives them a certain sense of protection and safety. Okay? So those are the two ideas of Levaya. And we see that it's actually more important than the Hachnasa. Why is it more important than the Hachnasa? So it's more important than the Hachnasa because the idea of the greatest concept in Hachnasas Orchim is to make a person feel safe. If you bring a person into your house, and even if you feed them and you give them drink, but like they don't feel safety, they don't feel psychologically safe, so then it's not really much of Hachnasa. The greatest aspect of the Hachnasa is to give your guest a sense of safety and protection through your house. So the Levaya, the escorting, is an aspect of safety and protection, providing the guest with a certain sense of security and a sense of protection. Okay? So now that we explained the Levaya, I just want to apply this idea to the Rashi. So apparently the Rashi is saying that there's an idea of Levaya by Yaakov. That it wasn't just, one idea is that Yaakov should recognize that he's protected by the Malachim. But there's also an idea that he should have confidence and that he should psychologically feel a certain sense of confidence. Not just the reality that there is somebody who's got your back, but the idea that it gives you a certain confidence. Though both those aspects existed by Yaakov, that he should go into Eretz Yisrael knowing or having a certain confidence. And so that's the idea of the Levaya, the idea of the escorting Yaakov. Okay? But what's this idea of the switchover of Malachim from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael? And this is like the last idea of this year. So what is this idea? Okay, so let's go back to that Rashi. So Rashi says over there, it's the same Rashi as before, but I'm just going to read it again because I think it's a critical Rashi. Ki chelek Hashem amo, lama kol zos. So why did Hashem save mankind? Lefi shehaya chelko kavosh b'neim ba'asad latzeis. God's portion was conquered, I guess, or kavosh means within them, and it would eventually escape. Umihu chelko, who is his chelek? Amo. Umihu amo, Yaakov chevel nachlaso. V'hu ashlishi ba'avos. He's the third of the avos. Hamashulash b'shal zechuyos. Zechus aviavos, zechus aviv zechuso, hare shlosha kechevel hazeh, shu asoi b'shlosha gedilem, v'hu uvanav hayulo l'nachala. So he and his children would have the nachala, v'lo yishmal ben Avram, v'lo Esav ben shal Yitzchak. Okay, so I think this Rashi is saying another idea about Yaakov, and I think it fits into his own approach about Yaakov. So what is that idea? What's the idea? Mom? So what is the idea? I think the idea is that there's two systems of Ashgacha, right? One system of Ashgacha is on the Yachid, and there's another system that exists in Eretz Yisrael. That we say that Eretz Yisrael is a land of Ashgacha. It's really a land where everything that takes place in Eretz Yisrael occurs through the Ashgacha. But you see, Yaakov was unique because he was the only individual. He was the first of the Avos who really related to the land in a unique way, in a miyuchad way. Why? Because every other Av, including Avram and Yitzchak, they had children who inherited other lands. But only Yaakov and his children alone would inherit Eretz Yisrael. So the idea of Malachim, what's the idea of the switchover of Malachim? There's a switchover in the system of Hashgacha that related to Yaakov. That when he was in Eretz Yisrael, the Hashgacha, the providence that emerges from Eretz Yisrael, related to Yaakov. But when he leaves Eretz Yisrael, it's a Hashgacha of the Yachid. It's a providence that relates to the individual. So that's the significance of Olam V'Yordimba, to demonstrate to Yaakov that when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he wasn't guarded by a personal Hashgacha because of his personal greatness, but he was guarded by Eretz Yisrael, by the Hashgacha that related to Eretz Yisrael. But when he left Eretz Yisrael, he was guarded by a personal providence because of his greatness, his personal greatness. And a proof for this idea is Avram Avinu, because Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael, but Yaakov did leave Eretz Yisrael, and there's no psukim in the Torah, and there's no midrashim, at least to my knowledge, that say that the Malachim switched with Avram. It never says that when Avram left Eretz Yisrael to go into Mitzrayim, that the Malachim switched. But with Yaakov, it does. Why? Because Avram had the same type of Hashgacha, the same providence throughout. But Yaakov, the providence that Yaakov, the intervention, the divine intervention that occurred to Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael emerged from him being in Eretz Yisrael, not from him being a Yachid. But when he left Eretz Yisrael, he lost that, and it switched over to a different system of Hashgacha. So really, Rashi and the Ramban, they're not really so different. So let me just summarize the share. See, the Ramban's saying that Yaakov, the purpose of the Nevuah, of the Sulam, of the ladder, is to tell Yaakov, or to teach Yaakov, about a unique Hashgacha that only he had as an individual. And the Ramban's really highlighting that Yaakov was the individual, and he was the species. He was the individual, and he was Klal Yisrael in one. And because of that, that's why he warranted a personal Hashgacha, a different type of Hashgacha. Right? Because Hashem, as we said, Hashem's reputation is affixed to the reputation of Klal Yisrael. And because Yaakov really embodies Klal Yisrael, he deserves a special Hashgacha, a special divine providence. But Rashi's saying a different idea, that Yaakov, he's also saying that Yaakov had a unique Hashgacha. But it was that he was unique in the sense that he was not just a Yachid, but that he, as a Yachid, he gained Hashgacha, or he was warranted with Hashgacha of Eretz Yisrael. And Avram didn't get that, and Yitzchak didn't get that, because they weren't the sole inheritors of Eretz Yisrael, but only Yaakov was the sole inheritor of Eretz Yisrael. And because of his unique relationship to Eretz Yisrael, he warranted a Hashgacha, a divine intervention that emerged from Eretz Yisrael, from the land of Eretz, from being in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the idea of the Sulam is telling Yaakov. It's telling him that he warranted a special, unique type of Hashgacha. And that's the switchover of Malachim. The switchover of Malachim is that there's two sets of providence. There's a set of providence in Eretz Yisrael, and now there's a new set of providence outside of Eretz Yisrael. So I think that explains the those are the main concepts of this year. So I hope it clarified the Parsha a little bit more. Does anybody have any questions? I know it's like a little bit of a hard idea. It's not such a simple idea. Does anybody have any questions or points or comments on this year? All right, so everybody, I want to wish you a good Shabbos, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving and enjoy yourselves. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Peace. Good night.
Good night.